Hello, friends. On today's show, the platonic ideal of grandma's cooking, the rise of the pub as community, plushies in space, Martins, well, but not the ones you're thinking, and Canada, goddamn. That's coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bell.
Hi, you're listening to Two Beers In. We're not doing any preamble this time.
We're just swooping right in.
Yep, that's right.
We just did 7 hours on voice camp.
Yes. Yep, and Doug is the only one that went to the high school for the performing and visual arts.
I actually had an opera teacher when I was in school.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
What a long, strange trip.
Two years before Beyonce showed up.
Oh, man.
I'm much older than Beyonce. But
before she showed up.
Yes.
To be schooled by Doug
right.
Fells.
Yeah, I took ballet. I took stage combat. I took opera and became an accountant.
That's right.
As you do.
Could you do a grungeté right now if we...
Y'all
I'm not
going to
grunge anything.
You don't know
I'm not from
look,
Seattle.
The look that Doug just gave, Monica, made me laugh. Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a gin and tonic with a splash of Angostura bitters.
I am Monica Ballard, another of your co-hosts here. And I'm drinking some sort of rum, orange juice, and just a splash of lime juice in there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of set me up for my trip to Galveston over the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Tropical, sort of. Not tropical, but coastal.
It's yes. A drink.
Coastal.
It's chemistry. It's both.
Yes.
You're going to go to Galveston and not go on the beach. That's what you're going to do.
Probably.
Yeah.
And to mix it up a little bit, I'm Doug, and I have a Modelo instead of the Helles this time.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And it's a little bit flat, so I may go back to the Helles by the time the Patreon comes around.
Because you know that Modelo is some fine beer.
Oh, yes.
Right there. That's
yes.
Some good stuff.
If it's like been made in the same year, it's actually not terrible.
So...
Modelo, it brings out the opera singer in
yes.
You.
So, question to you, Monica.
Yes.
What do you think is the best Mexican beer?
And you know, it's probably not even made in Mexico.
Sure.
Pacifica.
I like Pacifica as well.
Yeah.
I think it's made in California.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Probably.
But it is a knockoff of Corona.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I like Corona, too.
Yeah.
Doug?
It's pretty good. I mean... I tend to go back and forth. If it's a summer beer, it tends to be a Corona.
Yeah.
And if it's a winter beer, it tends to be a Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how long it took for me to realize that Dos Equis is Dos Equis?
two
X's.
X's.
I never thought, I just thought it was one word, Dos Equis.
Oh, like, okay.
No,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Dos Equis.
Yeah.
And then you went by that newsstand that had the triple X's.
Yes.
And when they had the...
I like their movies.
When they had the commercials with the world's most interesting man.
Yes.
Which, by the way, one of the best advertising campaigns
the
ever.
Best way to put to use a Jewish actor.
But if you'll notice, he was always accompanied by two young ladies.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. It made him mucho más interesante.
Yes.
Thruples do that.
They're like, they're hanging out with him? All right, what's his story?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his story?
I want what he's drinking. Yeah.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Great.
Hey, I could do that gig now.
Yes.
I'm old enough to do that gig.
Yeah.
And people would be like, nope.
Uno Equis.
Yeah.
And now the world's least interesting man.
It's funny because the part I do get the what's this guy's deal when they see my wife. Many times they will see EK and then go, all right, what's this guy's deal?
Yeah, it's a little Big Bang Theory there.
Everybody, you're
married to her. Trophy wife thing yeah. going on there.
I'm not necessarily, you know, like Kevin, from King of Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not quite Kevin. I keep wanting to say Hart, and it's not Kevin Hart. Kevin, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite the same, but, you know, because you put EK and I together. The first question is like, what? And then I was like, actually, they look very nice together. So I get that. But, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. So if you didn't know and you're just joining us and this is your first episode, as you could already tell, we drink and we tell stories.
We drink, we talk about good stuff.
Good stuff. That's what we try to do. And we've got a few topics. Thank you, Monica, for sending one to me, too. And we've got a song that Monica said, seriously, Brett, why won't you play that song?
My song got bumped last week.
Yeah, but by Stevie Wonder.
And then he wanted to bump again this week. And I was like, you hate my song, don't you? Just admit it. Just admit you hate my song. And then he remembered, oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll do Macarena next week.
You're right. Yep. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So
it was Gangnam Style, actually.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Still Baby Shark. It will always be Baby Shark. So what we do is we tell stories. We talk about things that are positive in the news. And let's start by a thing that I actually saw twice. Once I did research more on this topic, I was like, oh, I've actually seen this twice already. The title of the thing is Run by Grandmothers, a Staten Island restaurant highlights home cooking from around the world. So
count me in.
Yeah. Most visitors going to Staten Island are doing so to see the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. But within the kitchen at 27 Hyatt Street can be found one of the most unique restaurants in the whole city. So it's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And in it, it's run by grandmas. So these are grandmas that come from around the world and feature their cuisine. And originally it started out as just being an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And the owner, whose name I will come to later, because I'm looking through the notes, he wanted to create this restaurant in honor of his grandmother, who's Sicilian. And so when he did it, he started reaching out to other Italian grandmothers or Sicilian grandmothers to say, do you have a version of this? And they said, yes. And then other grandmothers from, you know, actually it was 100 women from Sri Lanka, Syria, Bulgaria, Greece, South Korea, Egypt, Peru, Japan, Azerbaijan, Algeria, Turkey, and Argentina all said, well, we have our version of our cuisine that we could cook. And he's like, all right. So then they kind of rotate through as long as they want to be there. Obviously, they're not chaining grandmas.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So I'm a little concerned here. Are these grandmas doing it by choice, or are we trafficking Nana?
Nana's being trafficked.
She's being trafficked. No. Okay, all
that's
right.
Poor Nana.
But Nana's like, oh, an adventure. Oh,
America.
I'm almost dead. It's okay. So the name of the place is Enoteca Maria. But
guess a night.
Yes, sure. But it's part of a bigger thing called the Nona Project.
Nonas of the world.
Nonas of the world.
I was hearing no nut.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
No,
no. No, that's in
it's
November.
It's like Nana. Only
like, well, I mean, I could see why the grandmothers would fit in.
Yeah, they're
it's
like, well.
Nana, only Nona.
Nona.
Yes.
Got it.
It's like, It doesn't matter whether they're American citizens, visiting grandmothers, or even refugees. The food and recipes are cooked the way they ought to be, the way they always were. Which brings up the question of authenticity, right?
Right. Yeah.
And in the end, we've all kind of discovered that all really authenticity is do you remember it tasting like this?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Heaton, friend of the show, has a joke that he tells about that kind of thing. And he says, look, if we're going to have people immigrate to the United States, the rule is only people who knows how to cook their own cuisine can come and live here.
Yes.
So then that way we can get our... And people are like, well, what if they're terrorists? It's like, well, is their food good? Because, I mean, like, if their country's food isn't any good,
yeah.
It's like,
no,
okay,
no,
then no.
No.
But they may be a terrorist, but if their food's good...
Yeah,
maybe,
we'll make an exception.
Maybe we can convince them we're not the great Satan.
So you're saying the Mexicans didn't come here from proximity, it's because we love tacos.
That's exactly...
Got it?
Sure.
Absolutely
it.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I'm learning stuff about history, look at that.
Yep.
The owner's name, by the way, is Joni Scottavella.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you don't want to cross him.
So, no.
Or he'll traffic your nana.
Yeah. So you like your nana. Yes. Do you want to see her?
It's a
Too
nice,
bad she's at my shop.
That's a nice nana you got. Be a pity if something happened to her. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So let's look at, I've opened it up. Let's look at tonight's menu.
Wait. Wait,
yep.
You have a link that will show you tonight's menu.
Yes.
At this restaurant in New York.
Yes.
With nanas from all over the world cooking for it.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Tell
me what is on the menu.
Tonight we have chicken piccata, sure.
Sure.
Risotto, sure.
Okay.
Risotto's
tricky, though. I've watched enough cooking shows where the risotto is make or break. Or what's his face will throw it up against the wall.
Yeah,
with a lot of swearing.
That's right. But you know that it would have been Anthony Bourdain or what's his name from Britain.
Yes, that guy.
That's funny that we can't remember the guy's
can't
name.
Remember names. Wow, these drinks are strong.
Like let's see him. Let's see him call her. A Nona, a donkey.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ignorant donkey.
And then.
This risotto
why are you,
is shit.
Why are you throwing your chocolate at me? I don't understand. So we were saying chicken piccata, risotto. Sure. And then from our Japanese Nona, Yumi, we have whipped feta cheese with roasted mushroom dip.
What?
Yep.
That is very out of the Japanese norm, I would think.
And yet...
I mean, you've been there.
Yes.
You would know better than I.
So we have eggplant dengaku, which is a delicious Japanese dish, consists of steamed and char-grilled sliced eggplant scored and brushed with homemade gluten-free sweet and savory miso. That sounds great.
Oh, man.
We have... Then we have... Menu de la casa, which is like the house stuff that's always there.
Yes.
We have burrata. We have ensenada del giardino. We've got camponada. Oh. Do you know what camponada is?
No, but it sounds like I would order it.
Sauteed eggplant with tomato, celery, olives, and capers served with crostini.
I don't even like eggplant, and I would, so order that.
They put all kinds of lovely olive oil, and it's just unctuous and yes, ridiculous. And gelato. They also and banana pudding. Sure, because when you think Italian,
yes,
you think
banana pudding is where you immediately go.
That's right.
And yes. We'd like to have a shout out today to our first sponsor, Staten Island Traffic Nanas.
Hey, you know, gotta make that money.
So, did your grandmother have a revered recipe that you learned and you can still cook today?
Yes.
What?
A lot of them are the dishes that I make. I mean, it was my grandmother to my mother to me.
Yeah.
My smothered chicken is very much my grandmother's.
Okay.
The gumbo that I make is a variation.
Okay.
It's not exactly what she made, but it's very close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I start adding little things.
Sure.
But also the way I make gumbo is very much her recipe because
it's slow cooking. I mean, it really is. There's nothing, anything that you concoct is not just thrown together, especially when you have guests over. You absolutely take your time.
Yeah, there seems to be a how long it cooks is how proud you are of it. When you put it in the pot, go away for the weekend and come back,
and may it's good.
You call all your friends.
Oh, yes, may it's
good. Yeah, you're going to eat that. You're going to like that. Well, that's also because for me as a cook, like when I was thinking of opening up my food truck, my thought was I want to make dishes that you can heat up in the microwave. Like that you can eat them now and they taste great, but then you can heat them up in the microwave and they taste just as good.
Yeah, takeaway is important in the restaurant industry. Yeah.
Sure.
So many places do a thing that, you know, like, so you'll never hear me go, I made salmon that you can, can't really.
No. It really doesn't travel.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, well, and your office mates will all hate you. They'll be like, what is the name of that food truck? Because we're going to go beat that guy up.
Firebomb.
And it's like, it was my grandmother. What?
So, Nana.
Well, she's being trafficked.
Nana Richter, on my mother's side, made German pancakes that were just amazing.
And that's is it in the pan and you it up in the oven?
Yeah, as big as the pan. I mean, thin German pancakes.
Sure. And then just, they creep up the side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did she do the lemon?
Golden brown lemon, butter. Yes. Oh, my God. There was no need for syrup. We don't need syrup. It was just amazing.
So you didn't learn how to cook that?
I did. No. Yeah.
And Monica.
When are you inviting us over?
I'm just saying, how many years have we known each other? 24 years now? 23 years
I
now?
Have that recipe handwritten, tucked in one of my cookbooks.
Really? Really, Monica?
Yes. Okay. All
weird,
right.
Weird how I've never had those pancakes.
Well, we are going to make that a mission in the coming months.
I'm just saying.
Now, my Nana Snyder on my father's side.
Okay.
I remember a story from my childhood of my mother buying some really, really good, I think, round steak some kind of really good cut of beef.
Sure.
And giving them to Nana Snyder to cook for our Sunday dinner. And she cooked them in the it makes things into a hockey puck.
Microwave?
No, it was before microwaves. No. Oh my God. It's a pot and it's got
slow cooker?
No.
No, those make things too.
I know, that's why I was like, if you pull them out too early there.
Pressure cooker?
It was not it was very close to
a pressure cooker.
A pressure cooker type of thing. And we came over for Sunday dinner after church and my mother said, "How are you cooking the meat that we sent over?" And she goes, "Oh, they're all pressure cooker. They're almost done in the pressure cooker." And she was like, my mother had to leave the house and take a walk around the block because she ruined those pieces of meat. I will never forget that story. And my late husband's first wife used to cook things in a pressure cooker too. So when I started cooking for Jim, he was just kind of like,
uh-oh.
Oh my God, this actually has flavor. And he was kind of like, how did Mindy prepare this dish? And it involved a pressure cooker. And I was like, oh my God, not the dreaded pressure cooker.
Not the pressure cooker.
I learned my lesson long ago. to avoid pressure cookers.
Still better than my mom fitting an entire chicken through the little hole in the top.
Oh, yeah.
And onto the ceiling.
Yep.
The whole chicken
went through the relief valve. Like it popped off. The relief valve shot the chicken into the ceiling.
The chicken was airborne.
Airborne.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And every now and then she'd go and point at the stain in the corner of the kitchen like, there's one of my cooking adventures.
That's hilarious.
My mom was well known as a really good cook. She'd be the first to tell you.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Uh-huh.
So celebrate your nanas. That's what we're saying.
Yes.
Or nonas. Or nanas. Or ninus. Or nanu nanus.
Mimi.
Before or after their traffic.
Mimi. Yeah. Yes.
So just to close it out, so there's the place in Staten Island, but there's also a place called La Mia Mama in London. And actually, they have three locations. And I think they are trafficking grandmas. So look that up if you're in London.
Hey, what's going on here?
What's all this then?
Oh, he just asked me to come in and cook Italian food.
12 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Next story. I want to talk about pubs because...
Because we're at a bar.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, yeah. All hands to the pumps, the colorful rise of community-owned pubs, which I thought Doug will get a kick out of this. He's like, are these unionized? Are they?
That's right. Sounds communist.
That's the origin of public houses. Yeah. That's what a pub is.
Oh, sure.
Exactly.
A public house.
So these are true. Okay, so let me start. People all over the UK are coming together to save their local pubs. More than simply having somewhere to go for a drink, it's about satisfying the thirst for community. Which I think probably what ended up happening is churches became kind of more the public place than the pubs were.
But there was very little drinking going on in the church.
Well, it all depends.
There was communion, but it was kind of like...
If you're a Lutheran, plenty of drinking going on. If you were Methodist, maybe not so much.
Baptist?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, they're not even in UK, right? There's no Baptist in UK.
I'm not sure.
I'm saying something totally out of ignorance. Right now. I'm just trying to say.
But do it with confidence.
Exactly.
Yes, with confidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the burrito.
I drive one of those.
Yep. I had one until I sold it because it just didn't have enough get up and
go. The Chevy Burrito was amazing.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful car. So in a remote part of the West Highlands of Scotland, there's a pub that sits on the shores of Cunardot Peninsula.
There's a chance.
Yeah. I actually looked up the name.
Oh, okay. You've got it.
Yeah. It's Cunardot. Yes. It's Cunardot.
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 Yeah.
So much for bravado. We're back. So.
I really did the whole article just so I could
say that word.
Cunardot.
Yes. Peninsula.
At the Old Forge is the beating heart of the village of Inverry. Inverry, a close-knit community. So it's been a community-owned pub, and it's exactly what it sounds like. So while the Old Forge is certainly unique in some ways, it's also part of a swelling trend when it comes to community-owned pubs. So what that means is a lot of pubs, like regular commercial pubs, have been closing all across UK. Here in the United States, we've been seeing a lot of that stuff happening.
I imagine so, particularly after the pandemic or during the pandemic.
Exactly. And in fact, 509 pubs closed down.
What?
And the UK has lost 6% of its pubs. That's according to British Beer and Pub Association.
Which is a great group to belong to, I imagine.
They're all...
That's much better than the American Egg Board.
I got to say, okay? dry January must suck.
The British Beer and Pub Association.
Never heard of it.
But what's funny is in that time when all these pubs were closing, the commercial ones, the community-owned pubs in the UK have increased by 62%.
Huh.
from 1% to 1.6%?
I had that written down.
Gosh, we didn't know there'd be a math quiz.
Yeah.
Why did we invite an accountant to our...
So
that was your own fault.
Well, I will tell you now that as of January, there are now 174
community publics
in the UK.
Okay.
And so, they have a success rate of 99% there. So there.
So, Doug.
I feel called out.
Hey, Doug, you're an accountant. Tell me, how many were the original number if they've increased to 174 and had a 63% increase?
Well, the original was about 107.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So significant. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the maybe 600 are closing, but hey, 60 of the community. But I'll admit that I'm kind of one of the people that's kind of cheering that on because I love the idea of community-based. Here in Austin, we have the Black Star Co-op that's here, and it had its shaky period during
I think
COVID.
UK is having the same kind of thing that most of the U.S. is, where the smaller towns are beginning to kind of move to the cities. And as your customer base starts to leave you and you can't make it make the rent, it's nice when the customer base goes, no, you're important enough that we're going to pitch in.
Yeah. I love that. Always makes me happy, mainly because I'm a big supporter of small business and especially restaurants and stuff like that. I'm tired of seeing.
I thought all your stock was in McDonald's.
It.
Oh, yeah, you have the 3 shares in Chipotle. Okay, that's I'm back. Right.
No,
that hamburger burglar, he was a...
Yeah, Robble.
He was a hard ass.
Robble, am I right?
Exactly. Pushed right up into a corner.
Thank you for not talking about my Chick-fil-A stuff. Thank you.
You're right.
Thank you very much. EK would be a little bit upset if she found out about that.
Yeah.
It's okay. She doesn't listen to the show. So
what was really impressing about the Iron Forge... Was that you had to get on a freaking ferry in order to even get there?
Yes.
It's kind of like, that is a dedicated members of the community who say, we're going to meet at the pub.
Right.
Okay.
So does the community have to get on the ferry to get
to
it? No,
if they're in town, they don't have to get on a ferry to get out there.
Because, I mean, there are some weird things like that. There's like little things on an island, but a pub would be a hard one.
That would be like...
No, it was my impression when I first read this was that you had to get on a ferry in order to get to
go
this.
To the pub from the town.
Yes. Huh. Yes.
Last call. We got to get back on the thing. It's okay. I rode over.
Yeah. I mean, that's some alcoholism with some commitment.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Because they don't stay out. I mean, pubs in general in the UK don't stay open late.
Oh, you say that.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
Do they do a 6 o'clock last call? I want
to test that theory.
Pub in John O'Groats, Scotland, that closed down at like 4 in the morning, and then we went to somebody's house and drank there for another couple of hours. I was like, what have I walked into? This is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I think there needs to be an excursion booked.
Yes. So one of the places is called the Star of Greenwich, and the owner is James Gadsby Pete. Wow, that is such...
Gadsby Pete.
But one of the things that he said was, I see it as a community hub that's enabled by the income from a pub, as opposed to just being a pub.
This is just voice exercises. He found an article that had a bunch of stuff that was hard to pronounce.
Yep.
We're back to the voice exercises, aren't
we?
Yep. He also said member control and input ensures the business is continually adapting and serving the needs of its members and the wider community. That's what gives community-owned pubs such longevity.
Yeah. Very cool.
And I definitely agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah, so, plus money. Money gives it longevity, too.
Yeah, money. You know what else is good for that? Cash. Monica, you got one.
Yes.
And we're all connected with it.
It's amazing. Okay. So first, let me set it up here. Crew 8's family dog plush is SpaceX's latest zero gravity indicator.
Yes.
Three American astronauts, a Russian cosmonaut, and a small English Springer Spaniel arrived at the International Space Station, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
It was not a real dog.
Oh.
No, no. Yeah, it was
I would be very confused about how they were going to take it for walks.
No, no. just go anywhere.
Aww, that's adorable.
So, the four member of SpaceX's crew eight mission, and they launched last Sunday. I watched the launch on YouTube. It was very exciting.
Why is that, Monica?
It was very exciting because I found out that Susan Barrett, one of the people here in Austin that we've done theater with, mm-hmm. her father-in-law is the mission pilot for this mission. And I didn't know that until she posts from, Cape Canaveral and says, we're really hoping for a go at the launch. And I'm kind of like, what? It was kind of like, because, my father-in-law is, and it was like, my mind is blown, and now I'm personally invested in watching this.
It's so weird when you know somebody whose relative is in the space industry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so weird. I can't relate. Ladies and gentlemen, my father-in-law is a retired rocket scientist.
Yes. So the four members of SpaceX's crew, they continued a 5-year and 1-day custom of bringing with them a doll to show that they were actually in microgravity environment in outer space.
Oh, cool.
And its purpose is to clearly demonstrate the free-floating nature of objects traveling in orbit around the Earth. Now, the very first, the choice of the zero-G indicator was given to Commander Matthew Dominic's daughters, to represent the sacrifice that children everywhere make when their parents are serving away from home.
Oh.
And I mean far away from home, right?
I mean, he gets a little bit closer. Yeah, and then goes, about every 90 minutes, he gets close.
So Dominic's children chose a stuffed version of the family dog, a plush spaniel with bushy brown ears and spots on its legs. And there's video that shows Dominic releasing the doll and watching it float in front of him at the end of a leash. And SpaceX adopted this tradition from Russia's space program, which from the very first human space flight in 1961 has flown dolls and other trinkets to float in orbit. And the first zero-G indicator for SpaceX was a plush planet Earth. And since then, 14 plush toys have flown on Dragon spacecraft. And this is the third dog to preceded by dolls that served as fundraisers for children's hospitals.
Fantastic. Oh,
very cool.
So these dolls would come back to Earth, and then they would put them up for auction. Kind of like, this dog or whatever has been to space.
Yeah.
And they would auction it off, and all the proceeds would go to a children's hospital.
That is
just amazing. And, I mean, not only does it demonstrate, we're in zero G, this is for real, but it benefits children down the road.
I'm so glad they didn't go with my pet that I had when I was a kid, which was a brick. So my pet brick.
You can put googly eyes on anything.
Yes.
Pet rock.
Yeah.
Pet rock.
The 70s.
Yeah, not.
We couldn't afford a pet rock. I just had a brick.
Oh man.
Played That's dead right. really well. We
just sits there.
Roll over.
Well, let's continue
Seriously,
with the
roll over.
Let's yeah. Ow. Let's continue with the aminal theme.
Yes, aminals.
Aminals. The American Martin may be set for return to Pennsylvania Force after 100 years.
Wait. A Martin?
A Martin?
Oh, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Martin.
Martin.
Gina! That's right. In the forest in Pennsylvania, you'll be hearing a lot of, Gina! That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's why you don't learn science from me.
So this tree-dwelling...
Words are hard.
That's right. I am in my second drink.
It's okay. Right.
The tree-dwelling relative... Just let me go.
Tree-dwelling?
Of the mink. It's related to the mink.
Okay.
Was extirpated.
Well done.
Yep. That was the one I read through a few times. Because I was like, did they mean exterminated? And then I looked it up.
Extirpated.
It's extirpated. Twitterpated.
That's right.
Extirpated.
My God, a Bambi reference.
Yeah.
Extirpated.
Nice. Extirpated. Which means to wipe it out.
Right.
Yeah. From the state 100 years ago in a plan to create an experimental, non-protected population to monitor how a predator introduction would affect existing ecosystems in Pennsylvania. So, like, they're reintroducing this, thinking much like kind of how the wolves were reintroduced in Colorado and such, and actually helped a lot of things along. Uh-huh. We'll do the same in this one. Problem is, those martens, they'll eat anything. So that's a little bit of a problem. But it's an interesting thing to see.
Well, not
things.
Small children.
You don't know.
My God.
If they're riding their Komodo dragon,
look
they will.
He just gave me.
Because
my
I know
God.
That I've been watching. There's a guy who has a farm up in Maine, I think, who's always talking about his dogs that are guard dogs for his for the ducks and the chickens that he keeps on site. And one of the things that he says is, weasels, including martens, are some of the issues that they have to watch for because they'll eat all the eggs and do all of that and get in there. So that's one of the reasons why it's not big animals. It's the little ones that they have to watch for.
Okay.
So, yes, it's this might be a situation to where it's going to improve the natural ecology of the area to help bring it back to maybe what it was once before, but there's also an idea of, hey, we need to make sure that the farmers and the people with these outside animals are not getting all
well. Not only that, but I mean, there are people who go out hunting for grouse and wild turkey, and the northern grouse hawk. I mean, and these martens are going after them too. I mean, they're going to go.
But there will be
is there
the
an
wolves.
Orientation that they can, you know, when they reintroduce the marten?
But all it'll be
like
is yes. No.
So they're using flashcards with these martens.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, I know there are a lot of people in this bar who are hunting wild turkeys.
No. Nope. Yeah, so I just think that I'm always interested in seeing how reintroduction of a predator or a species that was there before, how it turns out. I mean, I know that they've done it with the alligator in Louisiana, and it's turned out pretty well.
Okay.
They did it with the wolves in California and
Colorado.
And Colorado.
Yellowstone.
And that seems to have worked out pretty well.
Yep.
They've done it with, wasn't it some of the bison? But that's not a predator.
Right.
But that seems to be working out pretty well.
So when I first saw the show notes and I saw the pencil, you know, the marten, and I was kind of like, what the hell is a marten? And I looked at the photo. It was kind of like, oh, it looks like a cat. Except it looks like a cat that mated with a fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got a sleek body and a long tail like a fox.
But he's a little bitty.
But it's got cat ears.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cat weasel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But you know, we talk about these things, and thank God for the show notes, because city dwellers like us, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
We got lots of cats. You know, we don't have many cat weasels.
We've seen cats. We've seen dogs. We've seen armadillos, mostly dead.
Yeah. we do have a cat weasel. We do have a cat weasel in the Austin area.
Get out.
The ringtail cat.
Oh, the ringtail cat. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we've seen it over at Brushwood Studios.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it over at Wizard Academy as well, crawling on the bowers up there. And I shine my flashlight up there one time, and just like these big glowing eyes. And it scurried away, and I saw this huge tail. With rings on it. And I was kind of like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I felt completely like you know, city dweller in the country all of a sudden.
It is funny when people are like, we need to get rid of them. It's like, no.
No.
They were here first.
Yes. You say, coyotes, hell no. It's kind of, no, yeah. No.
It's kind of very MO to get rid of what was here first, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very rude.
It's what we do.
It's our way. It's the American way.
Yeah, that's right. Man.
But I do think that in rural North Carolina, when I lived there, I actually saw either a beaver or a
cobra.
No, it was not a cobra. It was either a beaver or it was some sort of woodchuck. But I did not see the tail, so I couldn't identify.
They do look very similar.
We were just passing by very quickly, and I was like, animal. Being from the city and heading towards, you know, country
yes.
environments. But I was very excited. I get very excited when I see animals like that are out of the norm.
Yes.
And
I got to see a bunch of baby armadillos at one time.
Aww.
Where both of my dogs who have passed away, but it was EK and I and our two dogs,
yeah.
And we went out to Colorado Bend State Park. And as we're walking out, first of all, Dini chases off after a deer, and we're like, well, I guess we've...
All right.
I guess we don't have a Dini anymore. Like, it really was one of those situations.
Oh, man.
You're like,
well,
yeah.
It's been great.
All right. Let's just keep going. Hopefully she'll come. It really was one of those moments. It's like, I can't go after her. So.
Oh, jeez.
But we had Bob with us, and we continued on. And there we see five baby armadillo trying to figure out what's going on. And Bob sees them, and he's like, I go, no.
Right.
Just lay down.
Not chew toys.
Well, he's usually just like, I'm just so interested in what that thing is. No, you stay right there. And it's funny because at first they're like, do I hear something? But most armadillos are very nearsighted.
Okay.
So it's hearing and scent for them.
Uh-huh.
And we were upwind is when that's the correct way. It's to where they couldn't smell us because we were upwind.
Yes.
And so they heard us, and they all froze, and I made Bob lay down, and then they were like, all right, well. And then suddenly there's these three or four baby armor, like little, they look like hand grenades. Just then they're scampering, and Bob's like, oh, come on, man.
Let me after him.
And I'm like, no. And it was funny because we got to just watch them play for a little bit. And then I was like, hey, y'all guys should move on. And they're like, oh, I heard a thing. Let's go. And then we go about another half mile down the trail. And then here comes Dini. She's like scratches on her and like, you do not. I'm like, I don't want to know what you were
doing. You're right.
Well, funny that you were talking about beavers,
uh-huh.
because this next bit is about beavers.
Get out!
It's
we didn't plan any of it.
Nope. So deep in the wilderness, the world's largest beaver dam endures.
You don't have to cuss.
I know. Hey, nice beaver. Thanks, I had it stuffed.
Thanks, I had it dammed.
Yeah, that's right. So the Wood Buffalo National Park is the largest national park in Canada, and it covers an area the size of Switzerland and stretches from northern Alberta into the Northwest Territories.
Oh, my God. I know exactly
the
spot.
That's a really big dam.
I know exactly the spot you're talking about.
So they only have one road that enters it from Alberta.
I don't doubt it.
And one from the Northwest Territory.
I don't doubt that either.
So, of course, the only way people see most of what's going on there is either through satellite images, airplanes, or helicopters.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they don't really know a lot about it. But, you know, this park has all different types of things in it. It's really funny because they put a list. We have boreal swamps, fens, bogs, Black Spruce Forest. Okay, that part I know. The other three things, I don't know what any of that is. Salt Flats, Gypsum Karst. Like, now they're just making up words.
Permafrost islands.
And prairies that extend to the continental central plains to their northern limit. So the wood buffalo in the park's name are bison related to the Great Plains bison.
Huh.
And in this remoteness, the buffalo descend from the original population.
Wow.
Guess what else descends from the original population? The wolves.
Wolves.
Yeah, that's right.
Weasel cats.
And weasel cats. Martins. No, now we're called Martins up here. It's totally different. Millions of that, millions of birds in this summer breed there. So, like, when you see them go north and south,
yeah,
that's where they're going. When they're coming from the south to the north, that's where they're going. So, and it just so happens, back in 2007, I think there was a fire.
Oh, was there?
Yes.
Yeah, I had clients up there who were, yeah. It was very hard. It was very hard to reach them because they were on the move.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of fires.
So because of that, an area was uncovered and was discovered via satellite.
Oh, because yeah, probably the tree cover burned away.
Yeah.
And they could more easily see down into the what used to be dense forest.
And so this was discovered. This Dutch-born landscape ecologist. Named, where's the name? I just saw the name. It's like, Jean Thie, a Dutch-born landscape ecologist, was looking at the latest satellite imagery during that time. He had examined in 73 and 74. So that's, he kind of looked at it, but then he looked at it in 2007, and he was like, hey, what is that? What is that group on that bog delta area?
Oh my God! Someone's built the wall.
Yeah, it's like they already started.
And Mexico didn't pay for it.
And it was a beautiful wall. It was the best. It looked like a recurve bow. And as they looked in on it, they saw that there was a beaver dam right in the middle of it. So this whole thing was set up. So I want to say exactly how long it took, because those beavers so it was a 17 acre lake created by a dam that is undisturbed, shiny and opaque in its swampy northern forest, and in the middle of the lake the small brown dot of a beaver lodge could be seen. So I love that there's just some beaver like, fuck all of y'all. Look what I did.
So he measured it and found it to be 2,790 feet long. Wow. That's a busy beaver.
That is.
I thought Canada had a housing problem.
Yeah, I know. It's the world's largest beaver dam.
Damn.
Many beavers that have reestablished themselves globally are descended from the beavers that were planted by wildlife biologists. The thriving beaver population of Tierra del Fuego, which was another place that DA has studied, is descended from the beavers brought to Argentina from Canada's Saskatchewan River. So,
wow.
Tierra del Fuego is the southern tip of South America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
They're like, it's close.
You'll learn the language. It'll be great.
What do they call trees in Argentina?
Just put an A after
big
everything.
El Damo.
Yes.
Just put an A after everything.
Yes.
So they were too remote to be wiped out, and that's why they're still there.
Yeah. Huh?
Because, I mean, from the 16th century on to the 1800s,
there was a beaver massacre.
They were just killing them fucking
beavers
for hats.
Yeah, yeah.
And for merkins.
Well, not just merkins.
Sure.
I almost got a client in the Northwest Territories.
Yeah.
my business partner insisted that if anyone was going to do the uncovery, it was going to be me.
Yeah.
And I started looking into how to even get there. And it was kind of like, okay, you fly into Alberta, Canada, and then from there you take a 9-hour train drive, train trip to the Northwest Territory, to this town which was known for oil, you know,
sure.
oil, but a massive amount of murders from people getting drunk and getting into fights.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, yeah, count me in.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
So
I went to a small town in Northwest Territory when I was riding the Alaska Highway, and it was a cute little town. It, the book said it had about 85% Native American, or Native. First Nations.
Yeah.
And I had to weave my way through the buffalo on the street to get into the town.
Fantastic.
It really worked. We were sitting on the street going, you can go around.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> So, yep, there's that story. Monica.
Yes?
Well, before we get to the closing song, which Monica will be introducing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about people who are supporting us.
All right.
You're listening to the show, so that's one way of supporting us. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We do this for fun. We enjoy having our drinks. We enjoy hearing from you. And the way you can do that is many different ways. You can send us email at twobeersin@weightlesspod.com. Just so happens, you could use that to give us money by going to Patreon. Well, actually, not Patreon. You can go to PayPal or Venmo and look up twobeersin@weightlesspod.com and throw us a little bit of money our way.
Yeah,
that way you can become a producer of the show. You can actually give us enough money to where you can say, I want to be the producer of this episode.
Oh.
You can do that. We will say, we will put it in there and say you've become a producer of our show. You can also go to patreon.com/twobeersin and do a monthly payment that can be as little as $3 a week.
$3 a week, people.
$3 a week.
Three.
It's at $5 a week, you get access to our extra episode that we do once a week as well, where we talk about various things.
That's it.
Mostly positive.
We're just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
Various things.
Various things. Don't you want to listen to various things? I think so.
I think you do. I think you do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you can support us. We appreciate everything that you do for us. We appreciate that you're listening.
Yeah.
So that being said, Monica, tell us about our closing song.
Closing song this week, 10cc. 10cc had two teams of writers. They had Godley and Cream,
yes,
who wrote the artsy, fartsy, really produced, very technical songs.
Yes, I love those.
And then they had the other team who wrote the pop songs that the record producer said, yeah, this is all well and good, but we need a single to play on the radio. And we can't play One Night in Paris because it's 7 minutes long.
Right.
So it was really an amazing band that I played a lot of when I was going through my radio years. And this song I always considered a very... it was sort of a vacation song.
Yeah.
It took me away. So the writer of the song mentioned that they had he lived in Dorkin. They had a recording studio in Rochdale.
Okay.
And then he often holidayed in Ocho Rios.
Okay.
And so that's where the song came from.
And where's Ocho Rios?
It's in the Caribbean.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's off of their LP, Bloody Tourists. Mm-hmm. And you might remember the song Dreadlock Holiday. That was a big hit off of that particular LP.
Great. It,
trust me on that.
Sure.
But
Doug and I are looking at it like, yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yep.
But a B-side that I always liked, because it always sort of took me off into vacation land, was From Rochdale to Ocho Rios by 10cc. Enjoy. Right.
Enjoy, and we will see you next week.
Yay.
Bye.
Oh.
To Ocho Rios, from Ocho Rios to Dorking, from Dorking it's back to Rochdale, from Rochdale to Ocho Rios. You spend half your life in transit, but that's just the way God plans it. Pack a shirt and some fresh pajamas, that's all you need. Try to get a flight out to San Juan, but Air Jamaica don't fly on Sunday. Gotta get a flight out to San Juan, because I wanna see the mama and the papa. When I look into your blue eyes, I bend the truth, but I never tell you lies. I need my lover, I need your care. Understand is not enough to make it fine. From Rochdale to Ocho Rios, from Ocho Rios to Dorking, from Dorking it's back to Rochdale, from Rochdale to Ocho Rios. Asleep in a stream of sunlight, awake in a dream at midnight. I'm rushing to wait for Jumbo, where am I now? Try to get a flight out to San Juan, but Air Jamaica don't fly on Sunday. Gotta get a flight out to San Juan, because I wanna see the mama and the papa. A dressing room so far from home, a corridor with a broken telephone. I wanna call, but I got to go. The curtain's up and it's time to do the show. Asleep in a stream of sunlight, awake in a dream at midnight. I'm rushing to wait for Jumbo, where am I now? You spend half your life in transit, but that's just the way God plans it. Pack a shirt and some fresh pajamas, that's all you need.
Everybody sing!
From Rochdale to Ocho Rios, from Ocho Rios to Dorking.